Well, turn to your Bibles with me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, New Living Translation. I want to talk to you about three keys to move forward in 2020. Three keys to successfully move beyond 2020. Paul is writing from a jail cell. And he's writing a letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the New Living Translation. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." I think it's time to refocus and to begin to look at one thing that's very important, and that is, how am I going to get through in 2020 successfully? Not just bouncing up and down, but being stable, being successful, being healthy. Not just alive, but very much alive. Not just barely living on barely getting along street, next down to Grumble Alley, but a daily excitement that something is about to happen that's going to be very good. Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." And what does lie ahead? What has your past been like? What's happened yesterday, last weekend, last week, last year? There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it except to do something about yourself today, and that is to look forward to what God will do in your life if you'll only agree with His Word. Some things you're going to have to do is change your attitude, change your thinking, change your way of thinking, change some things that you're doing, and to get a better handle on the future. As an introduction, let's say some of these things here that we need to say. Some people have a hard time moving on even to better things in life. Some people just have a hard time moving ahead. For one reason or another, you'll never succeed if you want to remain the same. It's difficult to make transitions to the next level successfully unless you know God has a better plan. You have to be willing to leave your past, leave what you have right now, in order to move forward with confidence. The first thing we need to do, of course, is take a step of faith. Let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. You know, this is the Heroes of Faith chapter. It's all about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, this is talking about our father Abraham. He's a type of a Christian, a type of you and I that need to, what he did, we need to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went." The Bible said that Abraham went ahead by faith. By faith means you don't know everything. By faith means you're going to trust God's word more than what your past has dictated, what your past is telling you. You said last year was a bad year. Well, this year is going to be a great year for you. Now, you might not have any reason in the natural to say that because you're maybe incapacitated some way. Maybe you don't have financially a good, you know, support system right now. Maybe you have some real hurdles to run through. Maybe you're have an illness that maybe you're fighting with against. So, but by faith, the Bible said Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. The first thing we got to do is by faith obey God's word, not knowing everything. You might not know everything. And let's go take another look at, you know, Abraham. We look at Abraham as our, you know, as somebody that we look to for an example. Let's take a look at Paul the Apostle over here in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, 23, and 24. Acts chapter 20, verses 22, 23, and 24. Acts chapter 20. Let's go read verse 22. And now you see, I am going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit, and obliged and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me there. This is the Amplified Version. The King James says, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. The Bible says that he didn't know what was to come, what was going to happen to him, but he was compelled to move ahead. And I believe that you have a compelling to move ahead with your plans. It says in verse 23, it says that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, you might even be facing hard times right now and maybe going into the new year. Nobody starts off with a fresh year without any problems, because they carry over to the other side. Nothing's canceled. You still have the same visa bill. Your car payments are going to still come in. Your mortgage payments. You didn't suddenly get well if you had cancer. You still have the symptoms. You're still going to see the doctor. But the Bible says he says that bonds and afflictions abide him, verse 23, that he had a witness in his spirit that there's going to be tough times ahead, but he's going to move forward. Verse 24 says, but none of these things move me. If we're moved more by the natural than we are with God's word, then we're going to have a real tough time moving forward. You can't just move forward in life by living by circumstances, living by conditions. If he does that, if she does that, I won't make this decision, I'll do this. You have to stand by your convictions if they're going to come to pass. You have to stick with God's word and make sure God's word is being planted in your heart, because the Bible says that Jesus said, if anyone builds a foundation on my word, that when the floods of life comes and all the bad weather comes and all kinds of conditions comes, will steal away the word in your heart and you will be strongly planted. Amen? The Bible says over here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, talking about Abraham again, Romans 4:20, the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The promises of God are the Bible. This is God's word. This is God's promise to us, or whatever you can find if you're having a hard time. Find out what the promise of God says. What does it say in the Bible? He said, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We need to be strong in the word instead of strong in the unbelief. Over here in Romans 4, 16 and 17, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You know, God has the ability to lift you up beyond your own ability. You have to trust God. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it with you as you step out. The Holy Spirit will grab you and you can move ahead. Are you all here or are you going home? Okay, so just wondering about that, because your spirit was just kind of like, just stopped there for a second. Okay, so to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that's the natural human ancestry of the Israelites and in the things that was told to them in the law, but also that which is of faith. but of faith, who is the father of us all of us. Abraham is our father of faith. He's the one we look to in the scriptures. He says in here, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. If you read, you know, chapter 12, 13, and all that, 14, 15, now 17, you'll read there that Abraham was an old man. Like last night, I was reading my Bible, and the night before, about Abraham in the Genesis, and God spoke to him. I believe he was 89 years old or something like that. When God spoke to him, he said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I think about 13 years later, he had a son, but it was by natural planning. He had a son by the name of Ishmael. And they're still fighting today. He said, this Ishmael is going to be somebody who's never going to get along with anybody, this nation, Ishmaelites. I think they're probably from your part of town, some of you. They're always around. They're not happy with anything. They're not happy with the weather and who was in power or whatever. You know, never happy with what kind of meal they're getting. There's always in contention, Ishmaelites. In fact, they sent some missiles over there. Some of those ancestry people are fighting today, right now. So Abraham thought he's going to make a plan with his wife to have his own, what he tried to do is he tried to help God out. You ever try to help God out? You know what God tells you? He's got a plan for you. Then you make a plan B because God's too slow. How many people know what I'm talking about? They know what God what they should have, and so they, instead of God waiting for God to fulfill what He said, they started making plans to help God because He is old after all. He's taking too much time. And so they think he's too slow. And so he had the Lord came, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation over there, chapter 12, and so on, and then over there. And he was taking too long to fulfill this. And his wife, has a good idea how they can successfully move into this plan of becoming a great nation, being a father of many nations and so forth, being a blessing to people. Because God said, you're going to be a blessing to people. We all want to be a blessing. So he tried to help God, or his wife said, I got a plan. Listen, I'm going to give my maid to you, and you can be with my maid and have relations with her, and so that we'll have a baby. You can have a baby for me. She can have a baby for me because I can't have any children. So he obeyed her, and they had a baby. How many people that know that did? Didn't work. So neither does your plan doesn't work when you try to help God. But they did have some sort of success because they did have a baby. That baby became a mean one. I think that's the first Grinch that ever happened. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. And so every Christmas he comes around. And so that's how we begin to have that Grinch coming around. But so what happened was, 13 years later, this little baby came along. His name is Ishmael. And by the time, he's 99 years old back. Later on, then it was 99. He became 99. I think his wife was 90. And then they said, 1 year from now, he had a visitor from heaven. And said, 1 year from now, you will have a baby. He was 99. He became 100 years old. I think she was 91 by that time. And they had the little boy. What was his name again? Isaac, yeah, that's the guy. And so he came. So anyway, this is what happened here. See, sometimes we try to move on in the plan of God, and so we try to help God. We try to help him out, and so we get into trouble. So Romans 8:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, when God said that, he was incapable of having any babies. There was no natural way he could have had a baby. Like right now, there's no natural way you can have what you want. You only have, you have the word on it. You have the scripture on something, but you're not willing to stand and wait and stand on it for a while. So that's what you got to do. You got to stand on the word until it becomes a part of you, becomes so real that you're willing to die for it. Some people, it's not a part of them, so they're not willing to die for it. It's not a part of their spirit yet. It's not in them. It's not meditated into their spirit that they become one with it. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. And he's standing right there, and he was an old man, and he couldn't produce anything. So God's telling you this year, and whatever promises that you're standing on, that you have it right now. You're not trying to get it, but you have it right now. Some of you are getting that. He said, before him whom he believed, God, even God. In other words, my King James says, there's a translation when it says before him, the King James translation gives me a little Aztec or whatever that is in the bottom of my King James Bible. It says, like unto God. In other words, that Abraham acted like God did. He began to call those things, it says, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. So he called it like God said it would be. You have to begin to say things in the Bible according to what God said it will be, like this year here. You're going to have to call it the way God said it, not the way you see it, not the way the forecasters say it, not the way the medical people say it, not the way your body says it, not the way the experts said it, not the way the statistics say about it. No, you have to say it according to what God says about you. What does God's word say about you? Well, look into the Bible and see what it says about you. It says you're healed when you're sick already. It says that you're rich when you're actually poor. It says that you're pretty when you're actually ugly. Everybody can be pretty, right? Praise God. You can be. Everybody can be pretty. Everybody can be pretty. Pretty ugly. No, just pretty. Just pretty. Pretty. Just pretty alone. Yeah. So you got to be negative, eh? Okay. So you have to call things. Now again, let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 7. It said, "Know ye therefore," look at this, Galatians 7, "like Abraham acted like God." You have to act like God. You have to act like God. You have to imitate God. You know, I believe it's Ephesians 4. I believe it's verse 1. It says that we are, you know, we need to act like God. We're God's children. You know, children act like their parents. You know, I look at myself in the mirror. I see pictures of myself. And more days go by, I see my dad. I see my dad clear as anything else. That's why when I used to go back home as a young boy, I'd go back home and they'd call me, "Hey, Mark or Mac," you know, because my dad's name was Mark. It's actually Mark, you know, Mark. Max, they call Max or Mark. And they call me that. All the older folks used to call me that. And I used to say, "Oh, I don't look like my dad." You know, nobody wants to look like their dad. How many of you want to look like your dad? My sister, you know, she says, "You look so much like your mom." She says, "Ah, no, don't say that." They should have qualified and said, "You look like what your mom used to look like." That would have been more helpful, right? Because she looked at her. She looked at her. You know, she's young, and she looked at my mom. Well, she's some 50 years old. Praise God. I thank God you all look like your parents. Did you find verse 7? Galatians 3:7. "Know therefore they that which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." In other words, we have to act like Abraham. We have to say, if we're going to be successful this year, we're going to have to say like what Abraham did and what Paul did. And they acted like what God said. They began to call those things which be not as though they were. And verse 29 says, "If you be Christ," the question is, do you belong to Christ? "Then You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, whatever promise that's been given to you through God's word, it belongs to you and I today, right now. So we have to take the first step. We have to make the first move. And faith is our first move. God will not always give you the whole picture or plan right away. He simply wants you to be walk in obedience. We see this in the life of Abraham, as we saw. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went not knowing where he was going. We read again Hebrews 11:8. See, you might not know everything. You might not know all the picture. All you know right now is what the doctor said to you. All you know right now is what happened to the family. All you know right now is what happens in the natural situation and the flow of life. You know, the doctor said it's been in your family. This problem has been in your family all your life. Your mother had it. Your grandmother had it. Your great aunts had it. Some of your cousins have it. And now we see the same thing happening in your life. You're going to end up just like they did. You're going to have to either believe that or you're going to have to change that. It's better for you to start beginning to call those things in the middle of the night. Make yourself remember it. And 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, when you wake up, you make yourself say things at night and say, no, here's what I believe. You quote the scripture, your favorite scripture, whatever promises I say, Lord, Psalm 91:16, I say, usually say, with long life, I will satisfy him. Thank you, Lord, that you satisfied me with long life. Thank you, Lord God, you said I'm rich. You said, but Jesus became poor so that I can become rich. You said, himself took all my infirmities, bore my sickness. I call myself well. According to the word of God, I am well. I say, Father, thank God you took all away every kind of anxiety, every kind of fear. I don't have a care in the world. Jesus, you got them. I don't take them. Thank you, Lord. I have no care in the world. I have no anxiety. And you said never to be afraid of anything. In Psalm 23, and he said, I shall not fear, praise God. And sickness is far from me, praise God. The angels are camping around me. Thank you, God. They camp around whatever I'm concerned about. Angels are around that. You're taking care of that for me right now. You make yourself say that at night, when you wake up at night. You say that to yourself. Every time you go look in the mirror, you say, thank God, look at that slim guy. Woo, praise God, amen. He said, look at those baggy eyelashes or baggy eyelids or whatever you call those things, whatever. No, he said, look at that, praise God. Look at my skin, it's nice and tight. Fresh, you know. And meanwhile, you look like last year's bird nest or something. Hey? But you have to call it like it is, like God says. So, you know, when we go through transitions in life, we go through one age to another age or from one job to another job. Maybe we're going through such different situations. People are going through hard times at Christmas time. You know, this is the first year I know lots of folks that I know, and they lost their parent. They lost their loved one, or something happened to them. And so every they make it a promise to themselves. They said, every year about this time, I'm going to remember how hard it is. No, you're going to say, thank God. You know what? I thank God. The Lord is on my side. I'm not going to always be shaken up like this. You know, I'm shaking. I'm human. I feel this and that, but I'm never always going to be like this. I thank God. God's got him. And even if God didn't get him, even if you don't think God get him, God took him. Even if you don't think, it's none of your business. You say, thank God, I have a concern about this, but Lord, I'm putting it on you, and you're going to take care of me. If I'm concerned about that, you're going to help me go through this situation. Like when my brother died, he was drunk, my brother. I have a brother who was beaten badly by his own son, and he died drunk. And I agonized. I agonized over that. I said, Lord, I couldn't stand thinking about it. You know, I grew up thinking that, you know, if you're drunk, you go to hell if you die. I was tormented. When my sister died at 42 years old, she died, and she called me on a Saturday. She said, I want to kill myself. I said, don't say stuff like that. Don't say that. She'd always say that. And by Tuesday, she's dead. After the weekend's over. She's dead. She's dead. They found her, you know, in the home there with my dad was there. She died. And she went into a coma, and then she's later dead. I was told, don't say stuff like that. Don't say that. And then she died. And it tormented me that my relatives died in such condition. And I had to, for my own sanity, I had to give it to God. I had to give it to God and say, God, I don't know what condition. I know the thief on the cross cried out to you. And they got saved. In the moment of clarity, they got saved. You said you'll see them in paradise. So you can't. You must begin to look at it that God is more merciful than anybody else's is comment about those situations. So God, I said, I can't take it. I said, you're going to have to help me. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I'm not going to have a breakdown. I'm going to give it to you. And if I can't, if that they are in hell, I have to deal with it, and you can help me deal with it. Come on now. You can get over anything. I said, you can get over anything. If you want to. I said, if you want to. But some people, they don't want to. They just want to take care. They want to hold on to something and remember it every year. They're going to light a candle and go over where someone died and commemorate that or put a bigger cross there. And they're going to hurt there every year until whatever. That's not the way God wants it. He wants you to remember them in good memory, but he don't want you to be hurt. If you're hurting, it's because you planned it that way. Well, it's the truth. My mother died. My dad died before Christmas. I don't fall apart over after Christmas, before Christmas. My mom died. Well, because you have to get over stuff. You might not like me saying this, but you got to get over stuff if you want to live right and be sane and be able to help people, other people who've gone over stuff. How are you going to help somebody if you not get over stuff? Ernie, come on. Bring out the chicken. We're going tonight. But, you know, we have to understand, you know, we all have trouble. We all had trials. We all had trauma. It's not the end of the world because you have trauma. You'll get over it if you want to. And when you're ready to, God will help you through it. Like some people might think, man, you're tough. You're like Spock. My family sometimes tell me, you're like Spock, you have no feelings. I said, if I felt every feeling, I'd be insane. The only feeling I like is when I eat that chicken bone. Like, last time we went to Chinatown, had some chicken. We went all the way from one part of the town to Chinatown, looked for my cousins there. Couldn't find any. That's an inside joke for some of you that don't know. I put on my Facebook, I'm looking for my cousin Larry Spence. They said, you couldn't find him. They all look the same. Larry looks like all those guys. My old friend. Anyway, so sometimes people have a hard time moving from one place to another. We have to end. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up. We'll talk about this another time. We'll give you three keys on Sunday. How about that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's good enough. Anyway, that'll take you a long time to get over this one. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Did you have a good time in the Word? This is Wednesday in the Word. We're still soaking the Word. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me. And he said, these guys, you guys, need to be more in the Word than ever. The Lord spoke this to my heart. He said to you guys, you know, if I'm your pastor, I'm talking to you. You need to be in the Word more than you ever have been. If you're in the Word, you'll never be afraid when bad things happen. You'll never be afraid when the devil warns you that something bad is going to happen. My brother one time, she says to me, bro, a crow came to my windowsill. There's something bad's going to happen. Knocked out the window. I said, send that crow over here. I'll deal with that crow. Amen? I don't like those kind of crows. They bring bad news. He said, something bad's going to happen. I know something bad's going to happen. Well, I said, what you believe? If you believe that, go right ahead. I'm not afraid of any kind of bad news. Amen? Jesus said, Psalm 23 says, I will not be afraid. In fact, there's another scripture that says that because we trust God, we'll always be confident of never being afraid of anything, any bad news. Thank God that we don't have to ever be afraid. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to help you this year more better than ever before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you. Lord, we lift up our hands and voices, our hearts open to you, Lord God. This is going to be an awesome year. This is going to be the biggest year ever in the name of Jesus. Blessings are coming my way, open doors. Hallelujah. Favor and blessing in the name of Jesus. More opportunities than ever. More business deals coming my way. More money coming my way to help in the ministry, help with my business, help with the family needs. I will not lack for anything, both natural and spiritual. Every day I wake up, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not lack. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. There's not one thing you will lack. Begin to say it every day. Wake up every day expecting something good to happen. Wake up every day for something good to happen. I don't know what's going to happen today, but something good is going to happen. Praise God. We have a good shepherd. And he's bringing things my way. Glory to God. Father, we want to thank you. In the name of Jesus, we dedicate our lives to you again. We pray the prayer of dedication and submission to you. Say, Father, we submit to you today. We submit to your plan, your purpose. Not our way. Not our way, but your way. We submit to your ministry, whatever you have for me. We'll do what you said to do. We'll go where you said to go. We'll stay where you say to stay. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And so we bind up all devils and cancel all their plans against us and against our family, against our bodies and minds, our spirits. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We bind him from entering in our area of space. In Jesus' name, we thank you that sickness is far from us. Money is not a problem. So I'm not afraid to lack anything. I'm going to be a giver, a bigger giver than I ever was, and more money is coming to me. Because your word says the stingy giver is only gets just a little bit. But the big giver, oh, he gets a lot. So I'm ready for a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So money is not a problem. I have lots of friends because I'm friendly. I'm not grouchy, and I'm kind. I want to thank you in the name of Jesus, for your word endures forever. I'm happy. My heart's free, and I forgive everybody that said anything about me nasty. I forgive everybody that's done me wrong from the time I was born till now. I release everyone in the name of Jesus. And in fact, I pray for them. I pray that you meet every one of their needs. Everyone to be filled with the goodness of God. And I want to thank you. Forgive me, Lord, for being nasty and mean to people. And help me. And to help me remember to be always kind to people and always nice. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Can you praise God one more time? Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. I want to speak to you that are watching by television, wherever you are. I thank God for you. You need to give yourself to Jesus this year. If you've done what we said in these scriptures, all you can say is, Jesus, come in my heart, save me. I'm your child. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. If you said that prayer, you are now his child. Come to church next Sunday, to Faith City Church, or to a church near you that teaches the Bible, or find somebody that you know and meet with them if you don't have a church. We'll see you next time. God bless you.